The strategy itself is already completed. The consultation process happened all throughout last year. The document was brought to the spread meeting last year and was unanimously approved or endorsed by the meeting. So it's a blueprint for activities regarding waste management in the Pacific region for the coming decade.
So it's a question, therefore, now of putting that strategy into practice. Are there certain things that apply to equally to all the Pacific countries that they can do to improve the situation?
Yes, the document contains all the priorities that were put forward through the consultation process. The challenge now is to do each of the activities, either at the regional level or at the national level. There's two components to it. The SPREP obviously will have a coordinating role in all of this. But the actions really need to happen at the national level. And the inaugural roundtable, the Clean Pacific Roundtable, brought together all the countries in the region with a couple of the metropolitan territories, together with development partners as well as waste management operators from around the region. So the discussion centered around best practices that can be shared amongst the different countries in the region. But at the same time, we also had a robust discussion around institutional setups to try and strengthen the operations at the national level, because we found over the last 10, 15 years, despite many good intentions from donor partners, development partners, what we still lack at the national level is properly skilled people and the supporting mechanisms to support the work that happening at the operational level.
Tell me a little bit about the scale of the problem that we're dealing with. Earlier in the week on Pacific Beat, we were talking specifically about waste and rubbish that's created in a post-disaster situation like after Cyclone Winston in Fiji, for example. That's an acute problem, but is there a chronic problem in the Pacific in dealing with rubbish and pollution that needs to be sorted out?
On a day where there is no natural disaster, we already have our challenges in the region, simply because there is limited resources in terms of equipment, in terms of skilled people, in terms of the finances that are required to operate a sort of properly operating system. When we have natural disasters like Cyclone Winston, which recently hit Fiji, the debris that comes out of that sort of incident is quite huge. And the region as a whole does not have the mechanism to deal with that. And that's the reason why many development partners and UN agencies that are coming to help. But the problem in itself with the intensities in the natural disasters that are happening that are related to climate change, this problem is going to increase. And what we are doing in the region is, you know, we're very much aware of this sort of thing, taking appropriate action to make sure that help is available when those disasters do happen.
What about the question of recycling? I mean, how well geared up are the Pacific Islands to recycle as much of their waste as possible?
Clean Up Pacific 2025 has got a strong component on waste diversion from landfill. So recycling activities are sort of spearheaded by the JICA project that's operating in the region. The new phase of the project will come into existence next year for the next 5 years. And the work over there centers around encouraging countries in the region to develop appropriate recycling and other waste diversion programs. And these are simply to do with collection of recyclable material and getting the Mossi Island back to entities in developed countries who can do the recycling themselves. But on the part of the Pacific Islanders, it is more about having operations for collection, diversion, and things like that to make sure that the rubbish does not end up in the landfill, which could do more harm to the environment.
Presumably also part of that process will be education, because Pacific Islanders need to get into the swing of recycling, as it were, and I suspect many of them up until now are not doing that because they haven't had the opportunity.
Very much so, very much so. And one thing we have found in the region is that, you know, while we do education and community awareness and all the sort of things, when the recyclables are collected, there has to be a system in the country to deal with it. And because the economies of scale are very, very small, there is no, well, for example, there is no aluminium smelter in the region. So whatever we do in terms of collecting aluminium cans, for example, these need to be compacted, put on a ship, take them out of the island, and then you've got the added burden of the cost of shipping. All of these things add up to making the recycling programs, you know, in some cases quite economically unviable because of the cost involved in it.
So hence the importance, I presume, of outside assistance, notably from the European Union and others. I mean, that will need to continue if recycling schemes across the Pacific are to be successful.
During the roundtable itself, there was also a strong discussion around public-private partnerships. And obviously the drivers in the waste management area are not necessarily the government. At the operational level, it's the private sector that takes over the whole operation. When it comes to recycling, it's the private sector that sort of spearheads the work in this area. The policies and the institutional structures that are put in place by government only goes to support the work that is done by the private sector. And there was also a discussion on how to attend to this problem innovatively. The public-private partnership section of the meeting was a very, 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 very strong discussion one where we had the private sector participate actively. There's challenges there, but we're sort of working towards trying to make these things happen in a way that everybody benefits from it.